Yes, everybody, welcome to Hidden Mentality. Today, we are lucky to have Flint Whitworth on the show. Flint is a student and a track athlete at NYU. He currently creates content and has a passion to promote a holistic style of performance training and lifestyle in order for people to reach their true potential. Flint now is pursuing a coaching career while also being a full-time student and athlete. Most importantly, however, he is now one of my close friends. Why is saying college is going to be the best 4 years of my life actually demonstrating a terrible mindset? In today's episode, we discuss how to find one's calling, what fulfillment from being productive looks and feels like, the distinction between progress and results, the importance of dictating an optimal environment, and more. A lot to learn. Flint is now currently on his journey and is someone to be inspired by. So, let's get right into it. Mr. Flint Whitworth, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here, man.
Dude, I'm so excited. I remember in one of our very first conversations, you told me you hated it when people told you before you came to NYU, whether it was before your first year or second year, I can't exactly remember, but you said you hated it when people told you college was or is someone's best 4 years of their life. What is wrong with that phrase?
I think that's a sad outlook on life, honestly. I think having people reference the past like they wish they were there still is just honestly a sad way of, I guess, going day to day if you're constantly running into younger people and telling them, hey, enjoy these years. These are the best ones you'll ever have. I think that's tough. Personally, I think what's wrong is each day we have a chance to, you know, get better and stuff. And if you're looking back and saying those are the best and you're not looking forward and being like, those are the best, then you're doing it wrong.
Mate, it's funny, right? Because we look at college as this conceptual, like in a concept of college, it's supposed to be these 4 years, this pivotal 4 years where we go from youth to individuals that can contribute to society, right? But when people tell us that these 4 years, we're going to have the most fun, we're going to be as free as we want, right? Surely there's a contradiction. I mean, just to me, where for me, growth has to be linked to a certain amount of effort or an environment that stimulates effort, right? How can you stimulate growth and transform into these aspiring individuals that can contribute to society when we're out here doing whatever we want, right? Like, how does that make sense?
Yeah, I also just think that people go into college with, you obviously want to go and have fun. Do your thing. Do what makes you happy. But I do think it is a contradiction in the fact that a lot of kids end up going to college and sort of washing away their 4 years pretty quickly. Meaning, it all went really fast, but it all went really fast because the whole time you might have not been doing shit. So you get out of college and you're right where you started.
There must be something that we as individuals must be aspiring for, right? Because if we're washing something away, what are we meant to be doing?
Well, the issue is a lot of people, and it's not necessarily an issue, we're young, right? But a lot of people end up going into college not knowing what they're going to do. So by not knowing what you're going to do, they fill that time with stuff that's unproductive. So granted, you got to go and you got to do your thing. Do what makes you happy. But for me, I love feeling like I'm getting somewhere. And so if I'm not doing something, and this could be an issue, but if I'm not doing something each moment of the day where I feel like I'm moving in the direction that I want, my end goal, then we talked about this earlier. I feel like I'm wasting my time.
Mm. I mean, no, you know what? Let's talk about what you're doing right now, because I think it's sick. Like, obviously, you're my brother now, and we're in this journey together. Just first of all, just talk to the viewers and me. What is your current goal in terms of content creation? Because you're uploading every day. Look, this is props off to you, bro. Like, I tell you this every day, like, this brotherly love, but what you're doing is insane, bro. But what is your goal right now?
I think right now my goal is to help anyone who's aspiring to make themselves better, whether it's diet, whether it's physically, you know, becoming more athletic, losing a little bit of weight, just in general, I want to help people exceed where they're at now. And
but where did that come from, though?
I think that came from me not feeling like I was doing that. So, right, our whole mindset and our philosophies are built on what our pasts are, right? So my experiences have shaped who I am. And I got injured a lot when I was younger. I suffered from depression for multiple years, I would say. I had anxiety. And through that, I didn't know what to do with it all. I became stagnant. You get to a point where you're just sitting still all the time. And not physically, but in the grand scheme of things, you haven't gotten anywhere. And so I got to a point where I was like, you know what? I feel that I could be helping people with this. I've have so much going on in my head, and I want to help people with this. And I started getting better. I started training kids on the side during the summer when I could, whether that was strength and conditioning or basketball training, and just helping them on a much smaller level, just helping them with basketball, just helping them get stronger, just helping them get their first dunk. Those little things, and seeing them improve and watching how happy they were when they improved, is what makes my day. For sure.
Bro, just you're speaking thing. Like you're like a 30-year-old man who's accomplished so much, right? Which is the sick part, because we're both sophomores in college, and right. You've started this journey now.
Yeah.
And I'm obviously starting this podcast now.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think it's so vital that we start now? Because here's a devil's advocate, right? When you brought up the fact that people are wasting their time in college, right? I guess, tell me if I'm wrong, but you think it's probably best if we start now because we work now and we get our free time later, right? Devil's advocate, are the people that are spending their time freely now and working later, are we not spending the same time equally, just in a different order? Do you get what I'm trying to say? Like, our free time is later and their work time is later, and we're both, I guess, spending the equal amount of time. So why is it more appealing to start now?
So if I just think of it in a logical way, we are more capable of learning and developing at a younger age than we are when we're older. So why would we not try and develop as many skills and habits now than later? It's easy to build habits now. It's easy to build skills now when you're young. But when you get older, you've already developed so many bad habits that you don't even have the chance to break them. You don't have the life cycle, enough years to actually break them to then enjoy yourself. The saying that a lot of people end up saying is, oh, I wish I had started sooner. I wish I had done this sooner. A lot of people end up saying that. A lot of successful people.
But then how do you start? Because like you said, a lot of people don't know what they're doing in college. Personally, I don't, which is why I started this, right? Is it you try random shit and you figure it out? Or is it like, because here's the thing, right? There's this idea of perfectionist that I brought up on myself as well. I always told myself I'm a perfectionist. So if I'm not good at something, I'm not going to start it until I master all the skills. But what I'm slowly realizing is, to even master a skill, you've got to enter the lion's den. You've got to start working, experiencing that skill. But then how do other people figure out what they want to do?
Well, I agree with you. I think that people need to try stuff. I think they have to go outside of their comfort zone to even... So, for example, me posting content. Never have I ever, before now, been somebody that posts a lot of their life on social media for people who I don't even know to see. Never.
Yeah.
But I took that uncomfortable step and decided I want to be more vulnerable and share myself, because potentially it can help them get started in whatever it may be. Whether maybe they're depressed and they don't know what steps to take, and they see that I'm being more forward with how I've been lately, and they go see a therapist. And whatever, obviously that's a mental health example, but I think we have to look at things that might seem insignificant, and taking that step to actually do those insignificant things will help you achieve significant things. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, of course, bro. It's basically on the same lines that I was talking about as well, bro. Like, I do think there is... I mean, we can touch on the idea of perfectionist, because it's funny, right? When I think you actually gave me this advice 3 weeks ago. I don't know if you remember, but you specifically told me, bro, like, and I can try to quote you here, but you said, bro, I was a perfectionist too. You kind of just have to forget that, in the sense, right? Because when we're trying stuff, bro, I think everyone has to come to the self-admission, bro. Like, you're going to be terrible at it. Like, I'm going to be terrible at it. But people have to also realize that because you're terrible at it, you have this advantage. You're in the awesome stage right now. Like, I don't know about you, but when I first started going to the gym, right? The baby gains, bro, I've never been more gassed in my life. Dude, when I was benching maybe 40 kg one week, and in 2 weeks, bro, I was benching like 48, 50. Dude, that feeling was immense. I wish I could have that baby gains in every skill possible, bro. Which is why I started this podcast, because I want to learn from people like you. But here's the thing, right? You've now started, and you're in the journey. How long have you started for? Just like a month and a half?
I've been going for about 2 months now.
2 months, right? And you told me a while ago that you have a goal by the summer that you want to get a certain follower count, certain viewership count to see the progress.
Yeah.
People have these long-term aspirations, these long-term goals that they set. How do you get motivated when you're not getting these long-term goals in the short term?
It's less about motivation, in my opinion. A lot of people try and provide motivation on Instagram, and I don't see it working consistently that way. I don't think you can always motivate yourself to do something. I believe you have to have principles in place, systems, in order to stay disciplined. So I think staying disciplined and deciding that you are going to do, for me, you are going to post every single day for the next year. No questions. It doesn't matter what type of day you've had. Hurricane Milton could swoop through here and take out my internet and everything, but I'm still going to find a way to post, because I told myself I would do that. And I think a lot of people try and find a way to, let's say your thing is you're going to stay motivated to get up and go to the gym every single morning. A lot of people want to do that. So you're going to wake up at 6 a.m. And you know what? For the first 2 or 3 days, it might be really easy because, like you said, you have baby gains, right? But when those gains aren't feeling as good and you're plateauing, or you're not hitting the weight that you used to hit, or you're not hitting the weight that you expected to hit, are you still going to be able to wake up even though you're not as excited? Because motivation, I see it as like an emotional based thing, whereas discipline is principle and values.
Dude, have you ever heard that Mike Tyson quote about discipline? It's so cold. It's discipline is doing what you hate, but doing it like you love it. And what you just told me there, I was like, dude, like, that's exactly what I thought. And I don't know, I just feel like there's this curve, right, that you just talked about. When these baby gains hit and you start to plateau, that's when most people quit, right? And I feel like you said this, and I'm referencing back to it because we both agreed a while ago, but I think that vital part is every time that you've said, I'm not going to quit when times get tough, you need to remember that you've just beaten someone who did quit at that moment. And people tend to forget that these projects and journeys are so much longer than they think, bro. Because we watch a movie and the hero has this 10-minute scene where they overcome this mountain in their journey. That's not reality, bro. Because that 10-minute scene is going to last months, years, decades. How do you know that your consistency will lead to somewhere?
I don't think you can know the exact point that your consistency is going to lead you. But I do think you can know that it's going to lead you somewhere better or where you're meant to be. So over recent years, I've operated off faith. So I believe that as hard as it is, everything happens for a reason. And God has a better plan for me, whether it's something rough that happened in my life or something amazing. I have to be okay with whatever happens. And if you're willing to stick with whatever discipline, profession that you're a part of or pursuing, you will come out on the other end knowing or having a better idea of what your purpose is.
I mean, how often do you doubt yourself?
All the time.
All the time?
All the time.
But then, if you doubt yourself so much, what keeps you going, though?
Even though I doubt myself so much, I have just as many moments that are more powerful where I'm like, I got this.
No, actually, no, that's actually a good topic. What are those moments?
You know, those moments are interesting because they're not always where you make an incredible, for me, you don't make an incredible video and you're like, that was really nice. Those moments are nice. But I had one of those moments the other day when I was having trouble talking to you about what I wanted to create going forward. And when you were telling me, you know, this isn't right, this, you know, you got to do it better in this way, you have to think about it more like this, all these ways that I was thinking about it before were a little off, and I could have been like, oh man, I don't know what I'm doing. But I was actually like, wow, I have so much more to learn. I have so much room and ground to cover in this next however long, day to day. That keeps me going.
This idea of potential, how do you define that?
In business or in life? Like,
you just talked about the fact that you have so much learning to do, right? So does everyone have does everyone have the same exact limitless potential? How do you even define that potential? How do you notice that potential? Let's operationalize that for a second, right? Like, what is potential in terms of characteristics?
From my experience, the people who end up growing the most in their particular area that they are confident in or want to be in are the ones who are willing to learn the most. Meaning, whether that learning comes in the form of somebody telling them they're shit at what they do, or that they got to keep doing this better, or completely change your product around. Somebody tells you something like that, if you are willing to take it as the way I said, wow, I have a lot more to grow, rather than taking it as a personal attack, I think a lot of people can then come out on the other side and be like, wow, I actually made a lot more progress than I thought I was going to. But it was because you made the mindset switch and you went from thinking they're attacking me personally to, no, this is them opening new doors for me.
Yeah, it's this idea of self-admission, no? That they've got to realize you're not going to be good, like I said before. Because when people think that they are the best at something, you limit yourself to learning, to growth, right? And I'm going to read you something, and I hope you know where it's from, all right? I knew I wanted to pursue this in the future, but I was waiting. Eventually, I realized waiting was only prolonging my chance to take an opportunity that was right in front of me. Do you know who said that?
Me?
Yeah, it was you, right? And
yeah, I think it was
funny. It was one of your posts. Yeah, it was funny. And dude, I love that post. But it was one of your posts. And it's funny because so many people don't realize that because they're bad at something or because they don't have the skill yet, that makes them incredibly advantageous in that category. Because for me, potential of hard work beats initial talent any day, right? This idea that you can develop a skill rather than having that skill from birth is incredibly dangerous. The reason I bring up your quote is, I think people usually prolong this, their desires, because they believe that they don't have that skill yet, so they can't get into it. But why did you get into this content creation, even when you knew that when you started, you may not be the best at it?
Because I knew that no matter what, no matter how good I was at the beginning, I wasn't going to be the best at it. No matter what. It doesn't matter. There are people who have been doing this for, I don't know, Instagram, short form content's probably been around a decade, right? Their experience beats my initial talent that I may have. Immediately. I don't know if I do have talent. I'm posting every day in order to help somebody. I think one little win each day. So, for example, this might come as a little win and insignificant to some, but if I see on TikTok, for example, I post a video and it gets 200 views, just like a whole lot of other people get. But I see that 4 people saved my video. That's potentially 4 people, maybe none of them use it, but potentially 4 people are going to use this video to help themselves. I believe what I'm putting out there will help you. I firmly believe that. So if I put out, for example, the post I made yesterday, these 3 ankle exercises will help you, you know, achieve a healthier ankle structure, right? four people save the video. Maybe none of them use it, but maybe one of them uses it and reaches out to me and says, dude, just did your ankle mobility exercises and my ankles feel better than ever. Or like just little wins like that. It doesn't have to be a whole bunch of people. It has to be just one little win. Small wins each day.
But how do you know that this was your calling in the sense that you're so connected to this, bro? Like, I know that you go to sleep and when you wake up, you're gassed for the day because you got work to do. There's people that work in their day jobs after college that don't have the same tenacity, right? Because they're not going after their true calling. And I'm not saying it's their fault, right? That's not what I'm saying at all. But in this 4 years right now, when we're talking about this college 4 years, when we're telling people to potentially try new avenues, how do you know that you've hit the right avenue?
I don't think you can.
What do you mean?
I don't think you can know that you've hit the right avenue. I think when it feels good to you, I feel really good helping people through my content. Right now, it feels really good. I'm going to stick with this for a long time, but this might take me down a new path 5 or 10 years down the line. So maybe this is not my specific long-term path, but right now I know this is my calling because, like I said earlier, just having a small little win, as insignificant as it may be, depending on how you look at it, is huge in my book. And over these couple months, those small wins have gotten a little bigger. Not that it always has to happen that way, but rather than it being one person saving my video, one person commenting that this was a great recipe for them, now it's three or four. I think just finding a way to be fulfilled with what you're doing, and if it does that without you having to like muscle it out of you, you're probably in a good spot.
But this feeling of fulfillment, do you get it from the consequences of your work or from your work? Because, for example, when people do hit that plateau that we've been talking about, right? When the results aren't coming as good as they wanted it to be, the mountain just keeps getting higher, even when they thought they were progressing as high as they were, right? Are you getting fulfilled from these results or the work? Because sometimes the results may not be there, right? So when it's not there, how do you feel fulfilled enough to keep going?
I love making these videos, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, I love it. And videoing yourself magnifies a lot of the ways that you can improve. So if I filmed a workout video and I see that my technique's actually not as good on that as I thought it was. My shoulders aren't as developed as I thought they were, or they're more developed, and then editing the video and going through and finding the right cuts, I just find that to be really fun and creative. It's a way to be creative. And overall, I just love producing stuff. I feel like I'm producing something.
I mean, that's awesome. You're connected to what you do. But there is also this art in patience, no? That you've got to... It is a skill in itself. And maybe it's actually one of the primary skills that people should focus on. Because I'll be honest, maybe I haven't even achieved it completely yet, bro. Like, there's times when you have to ground me saying, bro, like, Rish, time will come, all right? But right now, you just do what you're doing, and the time will come. You don't need to worry about the results. And there is this art in patience. But like, how do you develop this art? Is it an understanding that you just got to have faith? Is that what it is? Like, what is, where does patience actually come from? You know what? Let's define that. Maybe make our lives easier.
Patience is a tough thing to define. Because I think it comes in a lot of forms. Patience for some people might be taking a step away from something. Whereas patience for some people might be continuing to drill it and be patient with the fact that you might not hit your goal or whatever it may be for a long time. There's no promised outcome. And I think that's where you have to have patience, is because nothing is promised. No matter what you do, there's no guarantee that you're going to, right? If I'm being completely transparent, my goal in terms of just numbers was 50K on Instagram by the end of the school year. That's not promised at all. There's gurus out there, you post every day, you know, you're going to do this, do that. That's not true. Like, there's a lot of luck in that. There's a lot of consistency. But the people who listen to them, and then it's been 6 months and they haven't hit a certain number that they thought they were going to, they're the ones that quit. But if they had just been a little bit more patient, because they know that the outcome isn't promised, like that person said, then who knows, maybe it would have been right there 2 days later, 3 days later, 6 months later. The next 6 months, as long as that may seem in the moment, once you get 6 months down, oh, that flew by quick. Wow, that 6 months really, that school year really flew by. Just patience, like, because nothing's promised.
But that's the scary part in it, that like, nothing is promised. But on the flip side of it, and I'm obviously not trying to say people should risk their jobs and their careers or anything like that, but, and I've said this before, the people that do shoot for the shot, right? Even if they fall tremendously, you're falling back to where you were in the first place. It's not like you've fallen further, right? Like, so there's no harm in actually taking the shot.
Totally.
And have you know the picture of, I'm sure you've seen it, you know the picture of the miner, the miner where he's like digging for time and he's literally an inch away from the diamonds, bro. And it's whatever the statistic is, 99.9%, whatever it is. Like, dude, it's that feeling in Minecraft. I don't know why I'm bringing it to Minecraft, but you're like strip mining for like 10 years and you're like, oh, yeah. I'm gonna bun it. I'm getting out of here. And bro, like, there was just a diamond on the other side, bro. Like, why not dig that extra cobblestone, buddy? All right? Why are we here just not digging that extra cobblestone?
Totally.
And it doesn't harm us, no?
I think it's also because people don't know if there's going to be a diamond behind that cobblestone or not. They literally, it's so unknown. And it might be coal. We're keeping it on the Minecraft.
I like that.
Scene or iron or whatever. How do you ever pronounce it? I think they have to be okay with that. You got to start small. Especially when you're first beginning. Because that's when the dig is the greatest, right? That's when the grind is the hardest, is when you're first starting. It's fun at times, but you enter a state of, oh, wow, this has been a lot of just consistent swinging that axe, going to work every day, and you're not getting anywhere with it. So if we take it into work terms, that first promotion might be just from janitor to manager of the janitors. And I hate to say it in that way, but like, that might be what it is. And then eventually, that next level up when you go from coal to gold might be you're owning the company that owns the janitor group or whatever it may be.
Yeah, I mean, the curve is absurd, right? Like, you know the statistic for the podcast, which I always tell you about? It's 90% of starting podcasts don't even get past episode 3. And then less than 1% of starting podcasts can get to episode 20. Because it's this curve, bro, this exponential curve. And at the bottom, it's when you're making the least progress, in the sense that obviously the baby gains are there, but you see the least results, as you say. The progress and results are actually inverted, I should think, now that I'm thinking about it. And you may be making more progress, but you're just not getting the results you want. And people are so obsessed with results rather than looking at the progress they've made that quitting becomes the only option. Because if you're not getting the results that you opted for, what else are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, why else would you start?
Again, I think this goes back to what we said earlier, in it's little things that seem insignificant. So I wanted to bring this up. There's a book called The Slight Edge. It's by Jeff Olson. And I'm going to read a couple quotes, if that's cool.
Dude, go for it, please.
The truth is, what you do matters. What you do today matters. What you do every day matters. Successful people just do the things that seem to make no difference in the act of doing them over and over until the compound effect begins to kick in. I think that's exactly what we're saying. There's nothing promised. You have to stick with it over and over and over again and attack it with the same tenacity, aggression, however you want to say it, each time, in order to get where you want. Even if right then and there you don't know if this is actually helping you. It might feel like pointless work, but it's not. This first full 2 years, whatever it may be, I'm developing my voice, I'm developing my style, my templates are becoming more similar, and everything's becoming a little bit cleaner. At times it does feel a little bit pointless, but I remember that every video I put out, every edit I'm doing, I'm getting better at my process. And in turn, I am creating a better chance, a statistical chance, that I am actually going to succeed moving forward. Because I am getting better. You have to know that. I am developing a skill at this moment that other people are not willing to do.
And it's... You ever read Atomic Habits by James Clear?
So, I've skimmed. I have not read it before, and dude, I've been told hundreds of times.
What a book. It's the first book I read when I first got into reading this year. What a book. It changes your outlook on all your habits and routines in your life. And I don't want to misquote him, but there's a section where he talks about falling in love with boredom. And the fact that the first starting process of any routine change or any journey is going to be so boring in terms of results, bro. But it's the people that fall in love with the boredom that eventually get past the stage. Because the repetition that you have to go through every day for however the timeline is, whatever the time period is, it's going to be absurd. It's going to be killing you emotionally, right? To the point where you're questioning yourself all the time. And I'm sure that's part of the reason why both of us have so much self-doubt, is because we're in this stagnant, still period where we may feel like we're not moving. And this concept, but the fact is, behind this boredom, behind this stagnant stage, we're probably going through the most amount of progress we will ever go through in this entire journey. But because people are so focused on the fact that you're still not where you want to be, the idea of potential that I brought up earlier, I do believe that everyone has limitless potential, because I think potential is actually linked to time rather than talent. There's always potential to progress.
I think a little quote from Kevin Durant can't do any harm, but he always says, hard work beats talent when talent fails to work hard. You can take that in any profession in life, in any thing that you're doing. If you're willing to put in, for relating it to time, if you're willing to put in those extra hours when other people aren't, or find those extra hours within a day to do something like this. We're full-time students at NYU, and I run track as well.
Yeah, you're scheduled, sir.
Some would say that's a full-time job, and then some. It is. I do homework, I go to track practice, I have classes, but I still find time in my day to work on me, even though, yeah, a lot of that is working on me, but this is, a lot of this is what I really want to do. And if you're willing to hone in on those portions throughout the day and really dedicate yourself to finding those times, those hours are just going to accumulate.
Yeah, and do you think progress comes in repetition? This is obviously, I'm going to ask this question where the answer is obvious, but I want to know why this answer you think is obvious, right? A person that sits for 5 hours straight and studies something versus a person who spends an hour a day for 5 days, who's done more learning?
The hour a day, for sure.
And but why?
The reason I say this is because when we're talking about reps, I believe it is definitely quality over quantity.
Okay.
So if you are focused for that hour, you are probably going to get more work done than that 5 hour dude in one sitting in his back 2 or 3 hours. You will probably, I would be willing to bet you will get more work done. And what I also think is interesting is this kind of goes along with the compounding exponential
curve.
Graph, right? Yeah. Curve. When you rack up those quality hours consistently, that is going to create that exponential growth. Whereas I don't think there's very many people who can sit down for 5 hours and lock in on something that hard, that focus, whatever you, however you want to say it. I don't think there's many people who can do that. And so developing a way to break that up, I think is smart.
And you're saying you spend like basically time every day, right? And by the way, Flint is being humble because he didn't actually explain his bloody schedule. The man has to do track early in the morning, then probably goes to class for during the entire day. While during this, he also has to cook. And he's dropping a video basically every day, essentially, right? Tell me if I'm wrong. So to have this habit in place, there has to be a routine behind it. Am I wrong?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, for a second, just describe your actual routine.
So most days I wake up between 5 and 6 a.m. So 5 a.m. at the earliest, and then 6 a.m. at the latest, usually. And I wake up, pray, brush my teeth, head to track. Track is from 7:30 to, depends on the day, but usually we'll get out around 9. And then from 9 to 10, the team and I, we go eat breakfast. And then on 3 days out of the week, from 10 to 11, we have, it usually goes to 11:30, we have lift. So usually I haven't started, you know, my class day until about noon. Or it, like, that's like at the earliest.
And you've been up for 7 hours basically right now.
Yeah, so a lot of my day in the morning is dedicated to just physical development, and then that midday is class, and then the evening is my content, it's more homework, it's really just working on me a little bit. So most days I don't really finish up work per se until at least 9 or 9:30, so, and then I try to go to bed around then. So
dude, it's just fascinating, right? Because I also think one of the main ways to even start a journey or continue in a journey effectively is to make sure the environment around you is set in place first. No? Because if the environment around you or the routine around you is not set in, then you're setting yourself up for failure.
I agree. I think everyone is a product of their environment. So if we want to make a more lighthearted example.
Go on.
For me, just being a friend with you, I've developed some UK slang.
That's what I like to hear, buddy.
Like, you know, I might be waffling right now, but, you know, I'm going off, right? Like,
yeah.
I, by me being around you more often, have picked up words that you've said. And so, if you're around people who are disciplined and really are driven to reach their goals or are funny, or you are in, like, by consequence, going to become more funny and more disciplined.
Yeah.
Because you surrounded yourself with those type of people.
I mean, you are the average of your 5 closest friends, if I'm getting the analogy right, which, to be honest, I truly now understand. And for a while, I did not understand. But if you're actually serious about pursuing something, right, that also comes with maybe certain sacrifices that you never knew you needed to do. But once you've made those sacrifices, and you'll know when you made the sacrifices, right? There's some cop-out ways of doing it, but once you know you've made a certain sacrifice by changing your environment, because I think environment is the foundation behind almost everything. Any journey is dictated by its environment. But first, you got to dictate what environment you're in. You can't let your environment dictate your journey, right? So it's tough for a lot of people to actually get out of a comfortability environment and move to a lion's den where they may be progressing more.
Absolutely. I do wonder sometimes, because people say, you know, New York City is the lion's den, right? For business, for whatever it may be in terms of profession, it is in a lot of ways the lion's den of America. Do you feel like New York City has forced you into this new Rishi Karada? This, not new, but you get what I mean.
New York City in itself probably allowed me to dictate my environment easier because I was forced to change my location, right? But there are times when you've got to realize as well that your environment is not only dictated by the geography, it's dictated by quite literally almost every aspect that you can probably think of. It's the routines you have. It's the type of people you surround yourself with. It's these kind of things that truly, for me, influence my actions. Last year, while I was in the same city, and basically the same area of the city, and in the same school, I feel like I'm in completely two different environments from freshman year to sophomore year. And one of the biggest compliments I can pay to you is you're part of that reason, right? Because without surrounding myself with people like you, I would never be where I am now, starting a podcast, starting an episode a month after I even got to my sophomore year. So there's aspects of environment that often get overlooked rather than just geography. And while geography, I believe, is one part of it, right? If there's a place or a city or a home where you feel most comfortable with, that's great, but it's also potentially limiting your potential overall, because the most amount of growth is often connected to the most amount of uncomfortability. And trust me when I say this year, I've probably put myself in one of the most uncomfortable spots. But because of this uncomfortable spot, I'm slowly starting to love it. Once you start this journey in the right environment with the right people, you've got to make a self-admission to yourself that quitting is not an option. Because what's the worst in quitting? Actually, no, the worst is probably not taking the shot in the first place, no? I mean, I don't
not
even know.
Starting.
Like, yeah, not starting, right? Yeah, like,
it's definitely the roughest thing to do. I think most people, and this might be a wild take, but most people who have all this free time are likely more anxious and more upset with themselves.
Oh my God, 100%.
Than the people who don't. And this is just me speaking personally.
Yeah, of course.
Me having all this time dedicated to these areas of my life, school, track, physical development, content, taking time for my friends and family, right? All those things are what take up my day. And I don't really have time, even though I probably should make some time for myself to sit down, maybe watch a movie every now and then, maybe watch a show on Netflix, whatever it may be. But I'm not gonna lie, and this may be something, this is another question I would want to ask you, is it a bad thing to feel guilty doing that? Like, when people do that? But I can say that I did. I feel guilty when I do that. When I do that and I haven't gone after my goals a little bit more, I'm like, come on, that was an hour and a half of a shit movie that I could have been, an hour and a half, I could have been a video or two done.
I can tell you for right now, right? I think last year I had infinitely more time because I, first of all, wasn't in the, obviously it was my freshman year, so I was getting to know new people, but because I wasn't going out so much, in the sense I was just stepping out of my room, I was probably in my room for so many hours, and I was just taking the piss. Like, I would be just on my phone watching YouTube videos, just entertaining myself with easy sources of dopamine. And I'm telling you now, where because I'm working in the same way you said it, I probably have the equal amount of time, but I've just dedicated to work and not free time. I am 10 times less anxious. I am probably 5 times more self-confident. And the guilt of me enjoying free time now is enjoyable, in the sense that I enjoy sometimes potentially having that guilt because I am working in the back. And I know that because of this uncomfortability I get when I am feeling guilty, it's a good thing. Because of the standards I set that are so high, even if I fall so short, I know that my unproductive days now are 10 times more productive than my productive days last year.
Definitely. I think it's funny and a little entertaining when you look back at memories from last year or you know, just thinking about what your routine was like last year. My routine last year was tough. I was still a full-time student, still a full-time athlete. But I had a lot of time for leisure. And I definitely used it. I probably went through a few seasons last year of shows, which is totally fine. I'm not saying that people shouldn't do that. But I feel better now that I don't do that.
Yeah.
And that might be wrong to say, but I genuinely think that people will just, if they will just take that little chunk of time, it doesn't even, you can watch your show. If you've been watching about 2 hours of a show every day, start with taking 30 or 45 minutes of that time and putting it towards something else.
Oh, dude. Like, first of all, hopefully this conversation doesn't spark the fact that we're looking down on anyone that is using the free time. We're just, and tell me if I'm speaking on your behalf correctly, it's the fact that we feel way more assured of ourselves and actually just overall, for lack of a better term, just better when we are giving ourselves a goal to chase. And I just think it's one of the best feelings in the world, to be honest, when I know that I have a goal to chase and I'm in this journey. It's, while I have less free time to myself, this chase, the dopamine I'm getting from this chase is infinitely better than that 10-minute YouTube video I watched for 10 hours last year. Do you get what I mean? Like,
absolutely. What's interesting to me is I've had this passion for exercise science for 4 years. It's been building. My knowledge has been growing. Been researching for all those years, trying to get healthy. And through that process, I've learned more about mental health. I've learned more about diet. And nothing is more fulfilling than putting that knowledge out there in some way, shape, or form. Or acting on the fact that you have this knowledge. You have this advantage or slight edge over other people who haven't researched like you have or haven't put in the time or effort. And due to that, you can provide value in some way. And the way that I try and provide value for others is going at it and creating content for people. And it is such a rush to finally let go of all the stuff inside of my head and put it down on paper, to put it in videos,
yep,
and to see my goals in the works rather than just continuing to hold on to them, because you're not doing anything except hurting yourself.
I mean, I love that, bro. And to be honest, I think this is one of the best ways we can end this conversation is, dude, just drop some advice right now. What is the best piece of advice you think you've heard for yourself?
You are not going to be motivated every single day. But if you can develop routine and habit, that trumps everything. And it takes, I believe this was in a book, I think it says it takes 22 days to form a habit. And it takes 1 day to break one.
Yeah.
If you can stay consistent doing that thing and form that habit. And by forming that habit, in consequence, form a routine. You've done something today. And I think just forming habits and forming routines is the greatest skill that you can acquire.
Love that, buddy. Love that, bro. All right, well, Flint, it's been an absolute pleasure, bro. And I'm going to make a promise right now, bro. Whatever the time is, I'm not going to give a time on it, but we're going to link up again. And in that time, it's going to go crazy, bro. We're going to have achieved some goal that we wanted right now. And when we link up again on a podcast, bro, it's going to be bigger than we ever imagined, bro. All right?
It's going to be wild. I believe it.